We're in Romans chapter 13. We left off in verse 8. And we were talking about how the love that Christ has given us is a debt that we'll never be able to repay. And likewise, when we kind of look towards the love that we are due to our neighbor, when we try to pay that debt to them, it's something that we will never be able to fulfill. We were talking about how the debt of love is not something that you can pay more towards and have the debt be reduced, because the outstanding amount, the full amount, is still there and is never reduced. So let's pick back up in verse number 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now flip over to Galatians chapter 5, where you're going to see the same sentiment expressed by Paul. He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. In one statement, it's fulfilled in this. Even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So when we talk about the law being fulfilled, loving your neighbor as yourself, first off, I just want to mention that it has nothing to do with your justification. You trying to fulfill the law to be justified in yourself, right? To have your own justification, because if your justification was based off of you fulfilling the law, then your justification would be based upon works and not upon grace, okay? And then it would be no longer grace, but works. So that's the first simple point I wanted to make. But then I wanted to talk about how is the law fulfilled through loving others? How could it be that the law, when you think about the law, I mean, I think sometimes to us grace believers, the law is a bad word, right? We kind of shy away from the law just because we understand grace and we understand what the law required. And so many times we think of the law as a bad word. And maybe I'm just speaking for myself. You know, once I understood grace, I'm like, oh, the law. Ooh. But how is it that the law can be fulfilled through loving others? Well, when you say fulfill the law, what does that mean? If you fulfill the law, you're acting in accordance with the law, right? You're actually doing it. To fulfill the law is to do the law. You're fulfilling the law by doing it. So verses 9 and 10, let's read those real quick. Go back to Romans 13. And look at verses 9 and 10. For this, thou shalt not, let's go back to 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. So verses 9 and 10 answer the question by saying all of those things in the law are comprehended in loving thy neighbor as thyself, because love does not do what is wrong. Love doesn't do what's wrong. It does what is right. Therefore, it's the fulfilling of the law. The law was given so that man would be righteous, right? Full of rightness. And so, therefore, you fulfill the law by loving others. So, while we are not under the law, we can fulfill the law by loving our neighbor. So, love restrains us from doing evil, and it motivates us to do right in the circumstances that we find ourselves in life. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We see the law fulfilled in us. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So Christ did something. He came and accomplished that by... Christ came to fulfill the law, but how did He do it? He loved others enough, you, I, to die for them. And He loved you enough to do that. So greater love hath no man than this, right? That He would lay down His life. And because Christ did that, the righteousness of the law that He fulfilled then can be imparted on your account, the rightness of it. And then when you think about love, when you're loving your neighbor, what is it when you love your neighbor? Is that an emotional feeling? You know, I love my neighbor just because I get this warm, fuzzy feeling inside when I think about them. Love is more so your attitude towards them, right? Your attitude of how you feel, I caught myself, huh? how you think about them, right? The position that you put them in your mind, and the way that you express that in your life. Galatians chapter 5 tells us that love is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And as Christians, I think about love bringing us together, our mental attitude towards one another, how we think about one another. You know, I enjoy coming here to church and seeing most of you. And it's because of the mental attitude that we have towards one another. We value each other. There's this loving relationship that we have. And I started to think about love being like this bonding agent, like glue. And the thing that came to my mind is Colossians 2:2, when Paul says that we might be knit together in love. And what happens when you knit something together, right? You're bonding it together. You're bringing it together. So there's lots of senses of how the world thinks about love being wrong and how we should think about love and the mental attitude that we have. We talked about government in the beginning of Romans chapter 13. And because the heart of man is sinful, because it's not filled with love, it's filled with selfishness, God established the government. But laws cannot change the heart of men, could they? If laws could change the heart of men, then we wouldn't have a need for a justice system. We wouldn't have a need for a prison, because then we'd just pass the law and men would obey it and everything would be wonderful, right? But man's heart is selfish and it can only be changed by the grace of God. So there's this law, performance, and then there's the grace of God, which can change men's lives. It can change their hearts. So laws cannot change the heart. So that's why God gave wrath and conscience. Remember we talked about the difference between the two, that the wrath appeals to the lost man because he fears for his own skin because he's selfish and he doesn't want to experience the harm. And then conscience appeals to the Christian who out of love wants to love his neighbor, and he does it for conscience' sake, to be doing the right thing. Go back to Romans chapter 13. I forgot to click. Yeah, I do a terrible thing. I do a terrible job there. And then the pop-ups come. All right. Let's see. Romans chapter 13, verse 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, you know, as a side note, one of the things that I learned is when you look at the New Bibles, there's something that's omitted from this verse when you look in them. And it's that one little phrase there that says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Isn't that interesting? You have a group of people who are bringing a corrupt source text into circulation, lying, bearing false witness about the true testimony, and they happen to leave that one out. And I guess if you're in the business of doing that, then it makes you feel better about yourself if you leave that part out, huh? But one thing I thought of as I was reading this is that if you notice, adultery, murder, stealing, and false witness are all things that you can think of doing physically in the flesh. Something on the outside that's visible, and these things are the things that we're good at identifying and abstaining from the most part, because they're visible, and you can see it, and you can react towards it, right? If I see Jim stealing, then I could visibly react to that. But think about the other thing that's said here, that thou shalt not covet. Coveting is something that you do in your mind, not something that you're doing on the outside. So just like you can commit adultery in your mind, you can be a murderer in your mind by hating your brother, we need to be especially mindful of these things as Christians and not just let those things slip by. Don't let your mind wander into those things and think, well, if I just bring my flesh into check, you know, on the outward appearance, and I just present this outward appearance of good, then somehow I am doing a good job. You know, first of all, it has nothing to do with you. And the scripture talks about being renewed in your mind, and you're having a new mind in you. Don't let your mind wander into those things, into the things that aren't seen just because your neighbor doesn't see it or your family doesn't see it, and think that it's okay. I think we need to be especially mindful of those because they're destructive, just as destructive. Why is it destructive to let your mind go into those things? Because a thought often becomes an action. And with an action comes a consequence. So guard yourself. Don't give occasion to the flesh, whether it be outward or inward. Be renewed in your mind daily. Get grounded in the sound doctrine and put on the mind of Christ. Another thing I thought here is interesting is you notice the ones that Paul gave. He said, don't commit adultery, don't commit murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness. Those four things are the foundation for a criminal justice system. Here we are talking about the government in Romans chapter 13. And if you're going to build a law, if you're going to build a criminal justice system, here you have the things that you would build it upon. You have sexual immorality, adultery. Avoid those things. You have murder. That's physically harming someone else. You have stealing. There's your private property rights, right? And then you have bearing false witness. You have lying, perjury, those type of things. So in these things that Paul lays forth, these are the foundation. These four of the Ten Commandments are the four foundational pillars of a criminal justice system. The other ones have to do with your attitude towards God and the way that you would, you know, you are to think of Him and to avoid false idols and things of that. But these are the things that a government would institute upon this earth. So I thought that was interesting. It says there in the verse, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Paul's now going to show how love is consistent with the law, not in opposition. And now we get back to the point where I said, as sometimes, and I'm guilty of it, when I hear the word law, I cringe just a little bit, right? And sometimes we have this negative connotation towards it. But Paul's going to point out how, look, guys, grace, it's not like grace comes along and now there's this new principle of love. Love was there all along. It wasn't contrary to, but it was a part of the law. So it's he goes on, he says, in brief, the whole law can be comprehended by this fact, by this one standard, that we love our neighbors as ourself. And where do we get that principle from? Most people think that we get the principle from the Old Testament. But as I've said several times before, most people think that the God of the Old Testament was this mean, unmerciful God, right? That He was unloving, unmerciful. And then we get to the New Testament, and then we have, you know, the sweet Jesus who came along, who did nothing but good things. And what would Jesus do? And he was always nice to people. He never, you know, took the whip and kicked people out of the temple. You know, he never called people names. He never did anything mean. And so this principle of love must come from the New Testament, right? Turn back to Leviticus chapter number 19. Leviticus chapter number 19. Here we're going to pick up. God is laying down some law, and he says in Leviticus 19, verse number 15, "Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people." That probably strikes a nerve with some of us, right? "Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." So, he said, look at verse 17. "Thou shalt not hate thy brother," where? In thine heart. We've talked about it being a heart issue, right? When we've talked about these things of sin and hate and love, and how it's an issue of man's heart. And then he says, "Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him." Well, what is he saying there? This one really goes against the current of today's culture, doesn't it? Christians today say, I just want to love everybody. I want to show them the love of Jesus, right? Isn't that the theme of a lot of churches? I just want to show the love of Jesus. Forget about the truth. But it's like it's some warm, fuzzy feeling that we talk about on the inside, this love thing, just being, oh, I just feel so good on the inside. But the wrath of God is coming to this world. And you see that, we see that in Romans chapter 1, right? But if you love your neighbor, you're going to rebuke them for their wickedness. That's love, because that's truth. And you're taking a stand for truth. So that way, when you rebuke them, they'll see that they're a sinner, and that because of their sin, they have a need of a Savior. But no, we just want to love them and tell them that we accept them and that God's a God of love, and just continue carrying on, go about your business. And then they're totally ignorant to the fact, and we're totally ignorant to the fact, that we're avoiding bringing our neighbors into conflict with God and God's principles. So we need to bring them into contact with God, bring them into conflict with the gospel, but instead, what most of Christianity today, is what their feeling of love is by not bringing the truth to them is really just loving them to hell, right? Allowing them to continue going right upon the path where they're going to. And of course, I'm being facetious when I say love, because in reality, that's not love, is it? That's not love. That's hate. Because you're so concerned about yourself and our comfort level that we don't want to tell somebody the truth. We're afraid of how they may react, or it makes us uncomfortable to get out of our comfort zone. That the point is that's not love. You can wrap it up however you want, label it whatever you want, but it's not love. So he says, thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. And is it any wonder then in the very next verse that he says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself? You know, when I talked, was it last year or the year before when I talked about judging? You guys remember that? And we talked about how judging was truly loving your neighbor. Well, there it is. I mean, he's laying the groundwork. You see how Moses is leading up to that in the book of Leviticus. He's talking about what's going on. He's talking about don't let your neighbor continue in sin, rebuke him, and love thy neighbor. It's a part of that. So, again, the whole love your neighbor thing, don't just be content in your lifestyle to let them continue on. When you see what the world does, when the world says, when the world preaches tolerance and diversity, that tolerance is not love. That tolerance is hatred, because Satan doesn't want the truth out, right? That's a message that comes from the enemy. That's a message of lie, to preach tolerance. Tolerance sends people to hell. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 17 says, "And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these things I hate, saith the Lord." So we're talking about loving your neighbor. He says, don't even imagine evil in your hearts against them, because these are the things I hate. And in understanding a summary of the law, I wanted to, maybe we can get through this really quick. We're going to go to Christ's earthly ministry. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I want to show you four things from Christ's earthly ministry about a summary of the law. So let's try and hit them really quick so we can get them all in this week. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 43. It says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which in heaven is perfect." So, you know, even the schmucks like people who are nice to them, right? They enjoy that. But he says we should love our enemies. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 20, which you covered not so long ago, it says, "Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." And look back in verse 45 here. It says, he maketh, in Matthew, it says, "He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Isn't that a verse there for the superstitious Christianity out there, that they would do well to learn that verse? Think about it for a minute. Why do bad things happen to good people? And why do good things happen to bad people? What about the health and wealth gospel? Well, it says, God sendeth the rain upon the just and on the unjust, right? Why do bad things happen? Live your life in the circumstances you find yourself in. Be thankful in all things. Because don't blame your don't blame God in your circumstances. This is life. He sends the rain upon the just and the unjust. But be thankful in all things. When you think about the position you've been given in the spiritual blessings, what else is there for you? Because you got a little rain in your life? Mark chapter 12. Let's speed up and try and get these in. Go to Mark chapter 12. Verse number 28. "And one of the scribes came, having heard from reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. So he says the second is like in that passage. So he's relating the second one to the first one about loving God. Because if you love God, that love is going to be expressed in your love towards others, right? Before I was saved, before I understood God's love, I couldn't love anybody properly. So in order to love your neighbor, you first have to know God's love and the way that He loves. So he says the second one is like the first. It's related to it. There is none other commandment greater than these. Matthew 22:40 says, On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. They hang on these things. I mean, they're bound to it. In verse 33 here, he says, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Loving God and loving your neighbor is more than all the sacrifices that Israel had performed in the Old Testament. Why is that? It's more than those parts of the law, because that was done to cover up the wrongdoing, right? The sacrifice was made to cover up the shortcomings. But if you love God and you love your neighbor, you find yourself not in the position of the wrongdoing. It's better than doing the sacrifice. So if you did what was right in the first place, you would not need the burnt offerings. That's why back in Samuel, it says that to obey is better than sacrifice. If Israel just would have obeyed the law in the first place, it would have been better than them breaking the law and then offering the sacrifice. So understanding the principle there. Turn over to Luke chapter 10. So I know you see the significance here of the loving your neighbor piece. And just in case anyone has this question that comes up here, who is my neighbor? Luke chapter 10, verse number 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You notice every time Christ was tempted, aren't you thankful you have a Savior who's never going to lose a debate? He is so wise. He knows all things. You know, it's like rooting for Michigan, but having them win all the time. You know they're never going to lose, right? So you see here, he's tempted. Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. By the way, is that what we would tell somebody today? No. But he, willing to justify himself, but it's good, right? Let's not conflict the two. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Ah, so who is it that I should love and act this way towards? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I don't want anything to do with that. I'm just going to go about my business. I'm busy. I've got some place to be. I can't be bothered by this. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Ah, a Levite, someone of the tribe of Levi, the priestly. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. So I think this is something that you already know. But your neighbor is not the person who lives next door to you, right? Your neighbor is the people who are walking through life with you, the people that you come into contact with, the people that you see on the streets, the people that you see here in the church, the people in your neighborhood, yes. Your neighborhood is your neighbors. They're just in the hood. And so it's a matter of this love that you're to have towards God is to be displayed in your life to all those that you come into contact with. And when you're doing that, you're fulfilling the law. Because the law is this right standard of doing what is right. If we just simplify it down to its most simplest form, it's doing what's right in the circumstances you find yourself in life. And just to point it out again, but when he said, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? I can't dare pass up that verse without pointing out the dispensational nature of that, that if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you wind up not being able to believe the words on the page, right? Because they come into conflict. So how refreshing it is to be able to study God's word and believe the words on the pages, right? I know you feel the same way. Let's look at the last one real quick. Go back to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse number 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Again, what is it? Is that what we do for life today in the dispensation of grace? He saith unto him, You know, I just think to myself how much I would love to see that displayed in some of the legalistic churches that I was a part of. That when you walk in the door, let's just be straight with everybody. What must I do for life? You know, put a big plaque up on the wall. Keep the commandments. You know, let's be straight with people. Anyways, they'll never do it. Keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Do you recognize those four as the ones that Paul repeated? Verse 19, Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So Jesus summarizes the law in these points, and he says, You're going to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, that's the one he ended off on, right? So that's what summarizes the other points just made. Love God. And when you love God, you're going to love your neighbor. And when you love your neighbor, you're going to do what is right towards them. So when you do what's right towards the people you come into relationship with, you're going to obey those moral aspects of the law by nature and just loving one another. So in Romans 13:8, Paul said, He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now verse 9 says, let's go back there, Romans chapter 13. And let's look at it. Doesn't hurt us to read it again. All right, Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And then he says in verse 9, all the commandments can be summarized into this principle. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Consistent with what Christ said in Matthew 19. So again, we'll leave with this point. How is loving thy neighbor as thyself a summary of the commandments? I've said it, but just to repeat myself to end on this point. Because the commandments are about doing what is right. So a man who loves his neighbor will do right by his neighbor and fulfilling how God would have us be and act towards one another. And using verse 9 as an example, a man who loves his neighbor will not deprive him of his wife through adultery, nor his life through murder, nor his property through stealing, nor his integrity through bearing false witness. And he should not even let that desire come into his heart through coveting. So even if there were no law, even if we just operated on the basis of love, think about that. Think for a second if the law was never given, but you were just operating on the basis of love, it would keep us from doing wrong to our neighbor and our nations and the society that we find ourselves in this context of Romans 13. And within them, everything would function harmoniously and properly among all men because we'd be operating on the basis of love. And we wouldn't have a need for the rule-based system because out of love, you would naturally do what is right. And that is how the law is summarized in this one statement. So let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word, which we have to study and learn from. Lord, help us to love one another each day. Help us to be transformed by your word. And as we love others, also to be good citizens in the place we find ourselves and to spread the truth with others, Lord, so that others may see the light of your gospel. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.